This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the delightful Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport and Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. Well, last week I didn't get to see these two beautiful faces, Mike and Aaron. Aaron and Sean. It was such a pleasure, obviously. The Newcastle show is flying at the minute. Two games for us to talk about. Then a really big moment for us. We're delighted to be joined by the Newcastle United Foundation Power Chair Club. Rob Thompson and Jamie will be joining us to tell us a little bit more about that team and how it goes and how important it is to the community in Newcastle. And then we'll be looking at transfer rumours in what is January silly season and the injury crisis that Steve Bruce mentioned, saying it's the worst at the club in what he's seen in his time in football for 40 years. Sean frowns at me. He's not happy with that statement. He says, what injuries? I can read it all over his face. And then we'll be looking towards the game with Chelsea on the weekend. Nizar Kinsella, Chelsea correspondent from Goal, will be joining us. Well, it's a new year. It's a new show. You know, sometimes we're used to this. We do it every week. Sean still flaffing around. Doesn't know what he's doing. We're in a new studio. Doesn't know what a microphone is. Doesn't know how to put his headphones on. Where's he sitting? We finally got him to calm down. But let me bring Aaron in. Aaron, really good to see you. I hope you had a good new year. Let's talk about, before we talk about last night, let's talk about the Wolves game on the weekend. It was 1-1, but that man again, Almiron, getting himself on the score sheet double early.
I mean, we said, didn't we, back in the day that as soon as he got one, the goals were going to start piling in. And we were sitting here, crossing our fingers and praying it was going to happen. And it has, you know, 4 goals in 7 games from now. He just looks like he's playing full of confidence. He looks like he's playing just as good as he did for Atlanta. You know, when he played in the MLS, he had players around him that he could tell he gelled with, like he did at times last season with Rondon and Perez. And it looks like now he's just got that first goal. Something's just changed. You know, he believes in himself a bit more. And, you know, before Christmas, it just looked like any time he had the ball, you know, it just looked like he was never going to score. Now it's the opposite. You know, every time he gets the ball, you're thinking, here we go, you know, he could find the target.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic finish, fantastic technique to get that opener at Wolves, another goal for him. And just before we bring Sean in on that goal, I felt like if this was the 7 games ago that you mentioned, you know, when he was struggling to get on that score sheet, this is a chance he wouldn't have scored. But these are the goals that when you are thriving on confidence, you've got that swagger and belief, you take it, and the finish was a man that we're seeing riding high on that momentum.
100%, and obviously that was on his weak foot on Saturday against Wolves. Before Christmas, when Gale knocks that ball down to him, would he have even had a shot on his right foot? Probably not. You know, he's probably thinking, am I going to miss again? He's probably looked to try and square, you know, the player coming down the right-hand side. But like I say, yeah, just every time he's picking up the ball in the final third now, he's looking dangerous, he's looking full of confidence, he's looking as if he knows he's gonna be able to score. And it's just so good to see, because Newcastle fans have just been waiting, you know, over a year now to see it. And it looks like we're finally seeing the player that, you know, we did see in the MLS.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a delight to have Sean Wade back in the studio as well, especially after the Christmas and New Year break. But it was a delight to get that point on the weekend, Sean, as well, stopping those 3 successive defeats. An important point for Steve Bruce's side. What did you make of it?
Big point, I would say. I mean, going into the game, I would have took a draw all day long.
Because they're strong at Molineux, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, we can't take nothing away from Wolves. They are a cracking team, you know. So they've got a good, strong squad. Molineux's a hard place to go for any team. So, I mean, prior to going into there, I would have said, you know, a draw and take a point, I would have classed that as a massive point. Us taking the lead, obviously, anticipation and stuff and expectations are raised a little bit. So you're there and you're sort of gunning it and you're thinking, come on, we can get a win here. But, I mean, to be fair to Wolves, they deserve to draw, and in some cases, they probably deserve to win. I think Martin Dubravka was absolutely outstanding. I mean, even in the second half, I think he pulled off something like 3 saves that were just like, I've got no idea how he pulled off. One of them, he nearly clattered into the post, saving
one of them. He saved with his leg there. Yeah, it was an unbelievable save.
It was just, you know, but I mean, there was some weaknesses in defence where we, you know, heavily reliant on the keeper, and it's a little bit worrying, but also a big massive concern is the amount of injuries that we've got. They just seem to be dropping like flies at the minute, you know. And then we've got sort of claims from Bruce saying that he's never known anything like it. But looking back over his back history, he's known this everywhere he's been, basically.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a worry, Aaron. I felt like you wanted to come in then. It is strange because every side that sits Steve Bruce's manager, I don't know if you saw a tweet that was flying around social media. It went viral. I'm sure the Newcastle fans have all seen it. Wherever he's been, he spoke about this is the worst injury crisis, plans going down. We are going to talk about this later on in the show, so stay around for that. Maybe is it the training regime? What is Steve Bruce doing? I know we talked about it earlier on in the season, Steve Bruce's tactics, but we're going to come to that. Just on the games itself, obviously, Almiron will take the headlines. Now he's finally getting on that score sheet, and what a player he's looking like at the minute. The one that Newcastle fans have waited to see him reach that ceiling, reach that potential. But it's another cliche. I want to go back to Dubravka because obviously they say a good keeper's worth 10 to 12 points a season. This man proved it there because, as Sean rightly pointed out, could have been free for Wolves, but now we come away with this and almost a foundation to build on in this second half of the season, Aaron. That point, you know, could be worth a lot more when we look at it later down the line.
When you think about what the results were over Christmas and it was looking quite, the league table was looking very good in November, and then all of a sudden three or four defeats over Christmas, and you realise Newcastle probably aren't as safe as a lot of fans were thinking they were. So of course, you know, we're not out of the relegation battle yet. So a point at Molineux, you know, whether we deserve to win, it's still a good point to take away.
Do you think, Aaron, that we're ever going to be out of the relegation battle this season, though?
Well, I mean, look, maybe not this season, you know, but at the minute, you can't say that Newcastle are, you know, are not over, you know, overperforming compared to what everyone thought they were going to be, you know, when Steve Bruce came in. So many people, including myself, wrote him off, wrote the team off and said they were going to be dead and buried by Christmas. They're not. And without that little blip over Christmas, they probably would still be, you know, in the top half. So, look, this season ever going to be anything else than a relegation battle? Probably not. So I think now we've just got to make sure we get to the 40-point mark, which I think we will. If I'm being honest, I don't think we will go down. But just going back to that point on Dubravka, I mean, he is just, I mean, I say it every week, but how we got him for £4 million is just a joke. And at the start of the season, he was a little bit wobbly and he was making, a couple of errors were just creeping into his game.
He wasn't his normal self, I felt like.
He didn't look as confident.
But the shuffle in the management's got to
there's a bit of a change, obviously, and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But for every mistake he made at the start of the season, he shows on the weekend why he's still one of the best goalkeepers we've had, especially, you know, that I've ever seen.
He's got to be, if not the best, then one of the best. Well, he is one of the best in the Premier, but I would actually say that he's quite possibly the best keeper in the Premier, to be fair.
Strong, bold statements. But is this what happened? Sean's had a few weeks off. He's got a bit brave, and he's coming in like that. But that's what we want on the fan show. Do you agree with Sean? Are you ever going to get out of this relegation battle this season? Are you going to be in that battle until maybe the few final weeks? And is Dubravka not only one of the best, but the best in the Premier League? Let us know. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Have your magpie say tonight. Call us 0208 7020 558. Well, one man we spoke about, Almiron, grabbing the headlines on the weekend, obviously scoring against Wolves, scored again last night. I want to talk about that game, but let's put the spotlight on another man, because it was Joe Linton finally got his goal. 20 games breaking that duck, getting his first goal at St James's Park, thrashing Rochdale. Aaron, obviously you expected to beat them, you know, a side down in League One, you want to be beating them, but should have done it in the first leg. It wasn't to be. Another game for Steve Bruce's side, but happy with the way you played.
I think last night was probably as close to perfect as you're going to get for Newcastle in the FA Cup. You know, you had Joe Linton scoring, Almiron scoring, Matty Longstaff scoring. You had Tom Allen making his debut at St James's.
Tom Allen was good, wasn't he?
Richie and Lascelles coming back from injury and looking fit and solid.
I thought Richie played well.
Richie fantastic. Richie on his day is just so vital for us.
The way he swings the ball in, the way he gets across it. I don't want to big it up. I know it's, you know, we could say this is a simple part of football, crossing the ball into the box. But his delivery is excellent, and I do feel like Newcastle have missed that. And
what he brings to the team as well, isn't it? With his aggression, it's like what we're saying a couple of weeks back. You know, he's a massive miss. Because it's, you know, I think he rubs off on all of the rest of the players, you know, where it's like they all seem to get that extra, you know, like that extra yard on other players, you know, when he's around. Because I think if they don't, then he's there to kick them up the backside, isn't he, really?
And we haven't so far this season seen Richie's crosses into Andy Carroll. So
And into Joe Linton, you know what I mean? Getting that service, because it's been the defenders that have been scoring, you know. Richie obviously going down injured against Leicester in that League Cup game. I mean, this is something that they've not had this season, really, Aaron.
And it was the same under Rafa Benitez, you know, it's not just his crossing, it's his work rate. And he is, for me, one of the first names on the team sheet. He always would be. If it was me, I'd probably make him captain, because he's just the epitome of Newcastle United. He works his socks off, he loves the club, he loves the tackle. He'll die on the pitch, do you know what I mean? That's what you want. And just while we're still talking about last night, I say it's close to perfect. We heard the first pro Steve Bruce chants at St James's Park. There was a lot of people in the Gallagher shouting Bruce's name. So, I mean, we haven't seen that at all. And a couple of journalists I saw were picking up on that in recent weeks. Yeah. They're saying, you know, is it about time fans start giving him the love that they give Rafa? I mean, he's not going to get that. But there is... It now feels like the tide is starting to really turn.
Well, this is interesting. I think this is another something that I want to address a little bit later, because obviously Mike Ashley was at the game as well last night. Steve Bruce getting some chants, and we talk about transfers and crisis, the injury crisis, and pro Steve Bruce chants. We're going to come on to that a little bit later. But on the game itself, obviously Newcastle haven't got to the fifth round in the FA Cup since 2006. They now are definitely in the fourth round, beating Rochdale. They'll face Oxford United at home. And look, it is the FA Cup. This is what the cup prides itself on, but this is a great chance to get to that fifth round again. And this is no disrespect to Oxford, but you know, a home tie against the lower side playing like they did last night, Aaron, you know, this is a very good chance, isn't it?
100%. I mean, when that fourth round draw came out, you know, everybody was saying it would be typical Newcastle to get knocked out by Rochdale when we've got such an unbelievable chance to make the fifth round. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Oxford are doing very well in League
Didn't
One.
Didn't Oxford not knock well the last
they
time we've met?
They knocked us out about 4 years ago.
They already knocked out West Ham in the League Cup this year. Yeah. They smashed them.
And over the last 5-6 years, we've been knocked out by the likes of Stevenage and teams like that. So, look, it's not set in stone, but in terms of draws, you've got to be happy with it.
But look at how we played the first game against Rochdale, though. You know, I mean, that should have been dead and buried in the first half. At the end of the day, if they give Oxford that same sort of space and everything, then, you know, we'll get hammered the same as what West Ham did.
It's going to be an exciting tie, obviously, at the end of the month. Coming up soon, we'll be previewing that Oxford game, of course. But Newcastle are in the hat for the FA Cup fourth round out, and a great chance to progress to the fifth round, which they haven't done since 2006. Now we're going to talk about something I'm really excited to talk about. The Newcastle United Foundation Power Chair football team will be joining us next, and we want to shed a little light on them. Love Sport. You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio, the Newcastle guys are here. Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. And if you want to have your say tonight, you can. It's simple, it's easy. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. Now, I did promise you that we're going to be joined by some very special guests. Rob Thompson and Jamie from the Newcastle United Foundation Power Chair Club are going to be joining us, and we can shed some light on the great work that they are doing at the minute. This was Sean Wade's idea and suggestion, and it's brilliant because this does involve Newcastle, it does involve the community, and we want to speak to these guys and just find out a little bit more what they do and how they do it. Well, Rob, Jamie, it's really nice of you to join us now. Fantastic of you to give us a little bit of your time and have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. To kick it all off, for people that aren't fully aware of what the Power Chair is and how this sport has really developed over the last few years, in a nutshell, what can you tell us about it and how it all began?
Basically, Power Chair football is a version of football that was introduced to provide people with high level disabilities the opportunity to play the game. It's a four-side game played indoors on a basketball court, 2 20-minute halves, and all the key principles are exactly the same as that of 11-a-side football. One real difference being that there's no offsides, but we've got a replacement 2v1 rule, which is designed to stop people crowding the ball and encourage the passing game, which people have seen on the footage on Twitter. If people haven't seen it, then if they follow our club, NUFC, then there's an opportunity to see some of the footage of the game. It's been absolutely incredible talking about that in terms of the support we've had in recent days. The likes of yourselves and Anton Dett to bring light to the sports. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and obviously, Jamie, for you as a player, just hearing from Rob then, Jamie, what is it like for you to be involved week in, week out, and have this sense of community behind you as well, and, you know, getting that spotlight, not just from Newcastle, but all over?
It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm the head coach, and Rob's player coach, Rob sort of sees it from both aspects, as a coach and a player. The publicity that we've had has been absolutely mental. We went from having 10 followers maybe on my Twitter feed, to just in, I think it's just under 300 now. And the video that Rob mentioned, I think the last time I checked, had 134,000 views, which is absolutely insane considering we normally play to a handful of people. So it's been crazy, and I can't thank people enough for the support that they've given me.
That's excellent stuff. Jimmy, just wanting to know sort of currently how is the team doing?
The team's doing really, to be fair. The way I look at things is I look at it in a two-way system. I look at how we're performing on the pitch and how sort of what performances have been, but I also look at how we're developing with players in terms of athletes and in terms of people. So currently we're sitting top of the league nationally in the Championship division. It's an adult league, it's against adults. We had a bit of a rocky start. We were 1-0 down in my first game, but we managed, a bit of a team talk at half time, we managed to pull it back and we won the game 2-1. And I think it's sort of been the catalyst for the progression that we've had this season. And currently we're sitting top. We've played 9 games and we've won 9. The squad that we've managed to assemble in such a short period of time is absolutely littered with talent. As I say, we've got youngsters. We've got 9 and 10 year olds playing with adults. And I wouldn't be far off the mark saying that these 9 and 10 year olds are the best talent in the world. From what I know of power chair football, they're some of the best talent in the world. And I think that sort of brings the older players on, the likes of Rob, and gives Rob that sort of bit of hunger that he needs, and he can sort of steer the younger players on and give them the education that he's had over the last 10 years and use his experience to harness their energy.
Hi boys, it's Aaron here. I was just going to ask you, how do you go about getting the funding for all this, and how's it all set up, and how much support have you actually had off the football club?
So we're funded principally by Newcastle United Foundation. To break that down as to what we get, it's kind of, we've got hall hire, registration costs, and some more league weekend costs covered. I've got to be honest and say it's probably a £10,000 investment that made in me and Jamie once we proposed this idea. Alongside that, we'll also try to work and build partnerships because it's a very expensive sport. So alongside that, we'll work with Percy Edley, who provide us with the facilities to train and allow us to work with some of the people that we've worked with over the years. But again, being brutally honest, and to put a bit of context into things, we're in a position where we could still with funding in various different guises. Me and Jamie want to give as many opportunities to people as we can, as we've had. And again, a little bit of context, just thanking the people that do kind of chip in and have done bits and pieces. One of these chairs that we used to play in costs about £8,000. So we've had support from charities such as the Videx Trust, who have financed one of these chairs. And then we've got other places like James Fitness, who went and have supported work before we're going to become Newcastle United Foundation, helped me and Jamie put the idea together to build a football team. Me and Jamie both work really hard to surround myself with people within the foundation who work extremely hard as well, and other people in the wider community to help do the best job that we can.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can help you with that, raising awareness. That's why it's such a pleasure for us to have you on the show tonight. But Jamie, I know alongside the power chair as well, you want the team to run programs to help people. Can you tell us a little bit more about that as well?
Obviously we want the team to do very well on the field. But as part of that, we want the players and anybody that comes into the environment that we are in to go away feeling that they've learned something, whether or not that's a parent, a coach, a player. We want everybody to go away and think, I've learned something, whether that's something to do with a sport or a life lesson. If we can teach people little life lessons, as I say, we've got kids 9 and 10 year old. If we can teach them a good life lesson, that's going to make them into a good adult and get them a good start in life and help them get to university, it's as important as myself as the coach being able to coach him to be a good footballer. But what I will say is I've got to give massive credit to the parents. The kids that we have currently in the team are absolutely fabulous. You couldn't ask for a better set of kids. And without the support of the parents willing to take them to training every week and take them down to National League weekends, I've got to go to Nottingham once a month, it costs upwards of £400 a weekend. So without their support and their belief in what me and Rob are trying to do, it would be an absolute it would be a non-starter. We wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Wow. We're really keen on creating this environment where everyone feels wanted and everybody feels like they're accepted, no matter what level you're at. We don't just cater for the elite. And talking about these 9 and 10 year olds that are brilliant, we run programs that are for people who are new to power chair football, and power chair football's used as sort of the heading. But it might just be that we're just teaching them how to drive a chair. If that means they go away and drive a chair perfectly through a doorway, that's job done to me and Rob.
Rob, I was reading that you actually, you know, you've played in a Champions League final and you've represented England at 2 World Cups. And I just wanted to know, how did you actually get into that and get to that stage of, you know, being recognised at that level?
It was one of them things that, like, my initial introduction to the sport was approximately about 15 years ago. And it purely started by chance. I got an invite to Percy Headley from a friend that I grew up with and said, come and see this wheelchair football that we've just started. Again, putting a little bit of context onto things, when I was growing up, I was a little bit of a lunatic. My behaviour wasn't brilliant. And I had no idea what I really wanted to do. I was then introduced to two people, Stuart and Alan, who just happens to be Jamie's dad. And that's where me and Jamie initially met. Jamie used to attend the club that they ran, and we bond started from there. Really took to the sport. And then I was lucky enough to get selected to be one of the people to help set up the sport internationally. So that involved kind of helping with the writing of the rules, raising the initial publicity of it, and kind of making it a universal thing. It was played in Japan and France, but in slightly different variations of the game. We then wanted to turn around and kind of bring a bit more to it. As a parent, me and Jamie at this point, where we then went and got our degrees in sport development, and did some studying at TyneMet in Northumbria. And that's where that started there. I then fast forward a few years to the things that I've done because of that. And that has been kind of played at World Cups. Jamie's coached at multiple World Cups. You can see I've reached the World Cup final, played in the Champions League final, won multiple leagues and cups, and laid the groundwork with previous other things in relation to the sport. And I'm obviously got the opportunity to work with Newcastle, and it sounds like an exciting one, and we've been given the support to start and build that.
Well, boys, that's why we was glad to have you on the show tonight. Just quickly, where can people find you then, you know, if they weren't aware of you? Where can they get you? Websites, Twitter, where can they get in contact with you?
So on Twitter, the best handles @ClubNUSA, and that's sort of the social media link that we're using at the moment most regularly. So if you just search ClubNUFC, you'll follow us. We do also have, coming up on the 3rd of May, we have a regional league event for those people local in Newcastle, which is based at the Walker Activity Dome. It was formerly known as the Lightfoot, for those that might know it as the Lightfoot. So we'd be over the moon if anyone did come down and watch it. But if not, there's an app called Pro My Sport that links to our Twitter, and it's got live streams of games, and it sort of keeps our Twitter updated with results.
Well, Jamie, Rob, we're definitely, don't worry, this won't be the only time we hear from you, because we're keen now, obviously, now that we have got that background, to get you on in the future to see what the future plans are, and maybe we'll get you on nearer that May date and we can raise awareness of that day as well. But thanks so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you both on there. Rob Thompson and Jamie there from Newcastle United Foundation Power Chair Club. Really good to get them on and hear what they have to say. Sean, thank you for that suggestion. Hopefully this has helped them out in some way. But obviously what they're doing, and it was just really interesting to hear, not just of, obviously they said, looking for the elite athletes, you know, 9, 10 year olds, anyone, they just, if they can help someone in certain small ways, made their day, and they're so right, aren't they, it's job done.
It's the calibre of player that they've attracted as well, you know, like what the lads were saying there. They've got players that are 9 and 10 year old, you know, but these players, they know from their experience within the tournaments and the games and the World Cups and everything, you know, they know what they're looking at, and they're absolutely blown away with the talent that these young kids have got, because they know that they're looking at, you know, like in world terms, they're looking at like the Messi of the game, you know, they're looking at the Ronaldinho's, you know, and that's what they've got. That's what Newcastle United have got within this power chair team, you know, so it's absolutely phenomenal, and they've got high expectations this season, you know, of getting promotion and hopefully lifting that cup as well. And it, to be honest, there could be the best chance that Newcastle's got of seeing some silverware back on Tyneside, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad now we've cast an eye on it. We'll definitely be keeping an eye out for them in the future, but we are going to be talking about the injury crisis at Newcastle and talking about that pro chant for Steve Bruce and Mike Ashley in those stands.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show and Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. We're now going to be looking at, obviously, Steve Bruce getting a bit of a good reception last night. A pro chant for him. First time he's got that this season, beating Rochdale 4-1. And Mike Ashley in the stands as well for the first time. Weird coincidence there. And also, not really much going on in the transfer window this month for Newcastle, but it is silly season. There may be some deals happening in the background. We're going to speculate on those, what could be going on. And Love Sport exclusive, Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport just said to me he might be able to weave some magic. So who knows? I'm hearing Ronaldo. I don't know. We will see. What you're going to want to stay around for that. Either way, I'm going to big it up, that's for sure. But Steve Bruce getting a positive reception last night, Aaron. A bit of a chant. It was 4-1. How did this come about? How much of the fans were singing this majority-wise? Were you surprised at this? What did you make of it all?
I'm definitely surprised at it. I mean, there is obviously now sort of calls for Bruce to be given, you know, a bit of respect by the fans and at home games and stuff. But I was still surprised to hear it last night. Now, obviously, there's only 25,000 in that stadium last night. I'm assuming it was probably a small majority of the stadium.
29,000.
Yeah, I was just about to say 29,000 reported. Do you not believe that's that?
You know what I mean? 25, 29. It wasn't.
If you're going to get the attendance wrong and then you're going to give us a transfer gossip, if this is how we're going, Newcastle are signing Ivan Toney from Peterborough. It's going to be no weaving any magic. Sorry, Aaron.
I was surprised at it, but. It'll be interesting to see whether that translates into a league game when the stadium's full. Mm-hmm.
The season ticket holders.
It's a different sort of type of fan at cup games. It always is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who knows? But I mean, the tide is definitely turning. We spoke about it before Christmas. That was a section of the fan base that was starting to really get behind them, and now I think not everybody, but there's a large majority now are starting to. Are starting to appreciate the fact that Newcastle are probably overachieving
a little bit. Am I putting two and two together in a sense that I know how much the cups mean to Newcastle, and they want to put a good side out, you know, and they haven't been to the fifth round since 2006, and not just that, you know, sometimes not the strongest lineup, not taking it seriously in games like you mentioned, numerous ties when they should have won. Steve Bruce has put out, admittedly, it wasn't the strongest lineup last night, but it was still a strong lineup. They can respect that and they can appreciate that, and maybe that's where it's come from a little bit as well, because it's like, look, we don't ask for much, we never do, but what we ask for, you know, we're seeing it a little bit, and I think that's fair.
Definitely. I was surprised with the fans singing for Steve Bruce. I think the last time I heard that chant was for Glen Rhoda back in 2005-2006 era, where we used to start it off up with the top of level 7 up in the Leasers, you know, like Rhoda gives a wave. And he used to, you know, so, and then it used to get the cheer and stuff. So that's, I'm sure I can't think of anyone being sort of receiving that chant as far as managers are concerned, like sort of to that degree. So it was the Gallagher then giving it out for Brucey last night, which all in all, if that's going to spur him on and maybe he's opened Mike Ashley's eyes to say, yeah, open up the checkbook, then all be it, you know, it's all fair and warm. Love, isn't it?
Mm. I'd love to have seen if someone had a camera on Steve Bruce last night when that first chant went, because I bet he could not believe what he was hearing.
He nearly ran down the sidelines, Mourinho-esque, done a school disco knee slide.
Streaker.
Yeah, top off. It was unbelievable scene. He's now got the NUFC tattooed on his chest.
Across, yeah,
yeah. It's honestly
badge on his belly.
Yeah, I think why not? Yeah. I think if you're going to do it, go for Hogg. Well, it's not just Steve Bruce making headlines, getting a chant last night. Ashley was in the stand as well. Bit of a weird that the chant night that he was there. Was it aimed at him? Weird, obviously, but he was there. Whatever you made of this, Steve Bruce saying he's up for a couple of days. Strange. We will be talking about a couple of things. Yeah. Maybe they'll get Aaron involved because he's going to weave some magic.
Oh, so Aaron's going to come out with
maybe
it
the
in a
third
minute,
party. But Ashley in the stands last night, Sean.
Yeah, and a strange one because, let's face it, these two FA Cup matches, the fans have had sort of kind of on the first match against Rochdale, had decent coverage, they were there next to the commentators, you know. So they could have really give Ashley some stick then and they chose to give some stick to Robbie Savage instead, you know. So, and then like very silent about sort of the Ashley, the anti-Ashley chants, let's call them. And then being there at the stadium last night was kind of an opportunity for the fans to do that, and yet they've decided to just blatantly ignore him in a sense.
But maybe,
you know,
their
so
chant in a sense was staying away. Only 29,000, yeah. Maybe.
Well, we've got a couple of things, you know, that it's not like sort of the usual season ticket holders. So I've heard a few different things, but to be fair to the crowds at St James at the minute, there's been very little anti-Ashley chants going around at all, you know. So really speaking, it's something that seems to have petered off a little bit. So, but let's wait till the end of the transfer window and see what happens then, you know.
Yeah, well, it is the transfer window. It is silly season. Obviously, Newcastle are currently going on.
It's a pathetic season for us.
They're currently going on an injury crisis, according to Steve Bruce. He's saying he's never seen nothing like it in his 40 years. He's really surprised at it at the minute. We spoke about this a little bit earlier, saying that wherever he's been, there's been an injury crisis of sort, plague of horrors, you know. How has this happened? We're dropping like flies. Is it the training regime? What is going on behind the scenes? Because it seems to follow Steve Bruce around, Aaron.
It's got to be. I mean, I did see the tweet you mentioned earlier, and it was, you know, four separate photos of Bruce saying in interviews, we're just having bad luck. This is now the fifth team in a row where he's had bad luck, you know. And I mean, Newcastle historically have always had quite bad injury records, you know, under Pardew, under Carver, under McLaren, probably because the facilities aren't what other clubs are. But Benitez, and I know it's, I can't believe it's the first time I've mentioned Benitez tonight, but like,
it was a record. It was cut 38 minutes. I know. Guinness were on the phone. I thought, listen, can we get this in here? Yeah.
Next week, maybe. But under Benitez, that it was just unbelievable, the change. There was no soft muscle injuries. You know, he had the right signs behind it. It had the right, you know, warm downs and cool downs, and they knew how to prepare for games and prepare after games. And I mean, like you say,
he's a man heavily into that, though. Yeah, isn't he? I can't imagine Steve going, let's get up the science behind on this one, guys. Give us the old 2, 4, 6, 8. Come on, guys, knees up.
And let's face it, Rafa was working under protest as well, wasn't he? Because he was always there with his mantra of, we need to invest heavily in the training facilities and stuff, you know, because it was to take the club forward and to prevent injuries like this from happening, you know. And now we've got this whole thing again going on with groin strains and Dwight Gayle going off with a hamstring. Yeah. You know, it's just like Dummett going off. So I think there's some like 16 injuries or something like that we've got in the first team squad.
And the amount of times in recent weeks the players have been going off before half time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was two games in a row over Christmas where he'd made all the subs by half time. It was crazy.
Well, it's obviously, you never want to panic buy. This is always a difficult window anyway, because teams, they obviously can ramp up the prices. They know you're desperate and then you don't want a short-term answer. Then it doesn't work out in the summer. You're left with big wages, high wages on the books. But Aaron, you're the man in the know, it seems. Could we see maybe in a side that is depleted with injuries at the minute, maybe Newcastle making one or two additions?
Well, there's definitely been a change in tune because Bruce publicly came out and said November.
Bruce
came out in November and said, I don't think there's going to be anything. Now that, you know, he's meeting with Mike Ashley, they've met last night, they've met today, I think they realise they do need to strengthen. But I think if anything comes through the door, it's going to be late and it's probably going to be loan deals. I think the amount of money they splashed in the summer, we're not going to be expecting 25 million strikers and 30
Hasn't
million
Hasn't Bruce asked, though? He's asked for some big changes. Like big changes or squad change in players, I should say.
Bruce said last week in the press conference that he was going to ask Mike Ashley to splash the cash. I mean, you can try, but Rafa Benitez has sat for 3 years and didn't get it. So
when you say they splashed the cash in the summer, they obviously sold as well in the summer, it was a bit of both. It wasn't like they're waiting for those funds to be recouped.
But I mean, I don't think we're going to see you know, like record. We're not going to see another Almiron come in. We're not going to see a backup to Joe Linton, anything like that. I think it will be, if we're going to get quick fixes and fix this injury sort of crisis, it will just be until the end of the season. I don't think they're going to.
You're supposed to start because I'm putting my hand up. No, from the summer though, wasn't it ultimately like about 25 million that was left in the pot that they had suggested that they were going to spend? So essentially, in this window, there should be at least 25 million for a player.
There should have been.
And plus, there's another £50 million payment, isn't
it? I've got to be honest. At the start of this section, I said Aaron's going to weave some magic. I really, really got excited, and all he said was, "We might get a couple of loan deals."
anti-climax, wasn't it? What does he know? What does Aaron Stokes know?
When's the parade? But there's a couple of loan deals coming. It's unbelievable. This is
someone turned up in a three-wheeler van and he's put some tinsel on the bonnet.
Nothing wrong with Del Boy.
But we do know that the club have definitely tried earlier in the window. They've tried to get Ryan Babel from Galatasaray, missed out to Ajax. It now looks like they've missed out on Luckman, who wanted to come, but Leipzig don't really want to sell. Mm. It now looks like they're going to go for, I think it's Horta from Portugal. But I mean, again, from what I've seen and what I've heard, they're going to go in with a £7 to £10 million bid when he's going to cost 25 million. So like I say, Newcastle are still operating, and they probably will always operate under Mike Ashley, and we're going to try and bargain buy. I mean, how on earth Mike Ashley spent 40 million on Joe Linton? I mean, it's just so bizarre, given his track record of being so, you know, scrimping on transfers and just wanting bargain basement
Well,
buys.
Maybe then, is there a check? Might he start spending? Just because, obviously, I know he starts to spend when he worries, he fears relegation, but he did spend it in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, could there be a change of, maybe not this window, but in the summer again, another player of this amount coming in?
But he needs to get Matty Longstaff signed. I mean, I heard that Matty Longstaff is on sort of £850 a week.
He's still on his youth deal, and he runs out in the summer,
but it really is now open for other teams coming in. If they want to come in and offer him a deal and a contract, as it were, then he's free to take him up. And we've heard that both Milan teams have come in from, so all the speculation there. So really speaking, the club needs to, they've got a lot of in-house sort of work to do, I think. I think Sean Longstaff needs a new contract as well, really, to sort of give him a better wage. But definitely Matty, he's a major concern, because if another club comes in, say a top European club, the likes of Inter Milan or something like that, or AC Milan, then, you know, really, if they're going to come along and say, like, oh, well, we'll give you like 50, 60 quid. Like
50, 60 quid? 50, 60 quid. I don't think he's going for that, Sean. 50, I've got to be honest.
50, 60
grand
a week, I was going to say, tongue-tied. If they come in with an offer, you know, you'd be crazy not to take that, because the club, well, Newcastle aren't going to offer Matty anything close to that, you know. They're really sort of like stretching it out and paying them £850 a week, you know, which is crazy, you know. I mean, the kid scored a couple of goals against Man
U. He'd be losing 790 quid though if he goes in time for AC Milan. If he lost, it's no business sense, is it? No. We've got Aaron saying we've got loan deals, and you saying we're signing for 50, 60 quid. We've gone to pot tonight. Unbelievable. It's all happening on the Newcastle franchise. But what are you making of it? I think Sean, though, rightly has hit the nail on the head. It's not always about additions. It's about the keeping the players that you've got, tying them down, whatever happens. Even if, you know, they are subject of bids, then they could be sold for hire, because, you know, they're tied down to the club for a long time to come. Very interesting, but we're going to turn our attentions back to the football on the pitch and the matters off it. We're leaving those behind, because it is Chelsea on the week.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show and Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining in the studio with Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. Well, we are doing a Chelsea preview now. We're going to look towards matters on the weekend, turn our attentions. I was going to say, and then I don't know what happened. Sean, you was at the home leg. You was at the home game for Chelsea when, obviously, earlier in the season. But you was big dogging it, wasn't you? Hospitality, no such thing this weekend.
Living the life. So it was all good. The result was poor, and I thought we played poor at Stamford Bridge as well, to be fair. I was very, very disappointed in the way that we sort of went into the game, and, you know, Chelsea beat were 1-0, and it was as if they didn't even get out of first gear to be able to do that. You know, it was, for me, a lacklustre performance from the team, and it was pretty disappointing and disheartening to see. I hope that things are going to be changed for the game at St James's Park. But at the end of the day, Chelsea are a good squad, but they're facing a Newcastle squad that have got a lot of injuries. You know, I'm not sure on how Chelsea are with their injuries and stuff and things like that, or what's actually even happening for them in the transfer window, to be fair. So it'll be interesting to get the views and find out what's happening there.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. Obviously, Newcastle have had some good results, though, against those supposed bigger sides, you know, obviously this season. May that continue? Obviously, Chelsea on the weekend. Well, we're speaking to Nizar Kinsella, Chelsea correspondent for Goal, to give us that opposition view. Nizar, really good to speak to you once again and have you on the show. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. Tough test on the weekend, but what are you making of it from Chelsea's perspective?
Yeah, I mean, last time out, they were much happier. They sort of did what they've been meaning to do for a long time, which is beat a lesser team. They could really struggling to get that sort of job done in matches where they were expected to win. So yeah, Newcastle again would be a game they're expected to win, but yeah, just getting that sort of comfortable win where things they can stroke the ball around, actually enjoy a match. I mean, I'm not sure the Chelsea players or fans have really enjoyed a match. There's always been an element of tension in these home games. So yeah, to win at home against the Leicester side, it was comfortable. And yeah, I mean, they're still in fourth. They're still kind of comfortable with that. And yeah, it's looking good for Chelsea.
How do you feel Frank Lampard's done? Obviously, you know, he did very well at Derby, but this was obviously a massive step up. As you've touched on, you know, that they are quite comfortably in the top four. You know, they've got a 5-point cushion, but they just seem to take one step forward and then two back when you sit, like you say, they lose to the lesser teams. How's the sort of feeling amongst Chelsea fans of how Frank's done so far?
Yeah, I think he's done well. I think it's easy to take it for granted almost, that, you know, how Chelsea have done. Of course, you know, Arsenal, Tottenham, Manchester United have not been good enough and kind of made sort of kind of played into Chelsea's hands, and Leicester and all them lot. So, but you've got to do it yourself as well. And Chelsea have delivered in a season where people writing them off before it started, they were saying, you know, you got the transfer ban, your squad's too young. And Lampard's delivered where maybe other managers haven't. Emery needed to deliver this sort of performance this season, having spent a lot of money. Solskjaer maybe didn't deliver a lot, you know, with a young squad, albeit, you know, he had some big signings. But yeah, I think that Chelsea are ahead of where Chelsea, I mean, Chelsea are ahead of where they expected to be, thanks to Frank Lampard. They sort of, I think they were willing to have a season out of the Champions League. They ideally wouldn't have wanted that, but they were willing to do it. Just to get this manager in and bring in his philosophy of bringing through youth at Chelsea Football Club.
Hi, Nizar, Sean here. I'm just wondering what's happening with the transfer window with Chelsea, and also what's happening with sort of players that are maybe out injured and stuff. Have you got any news on that side?
Yeah, I think it's been really quiet, unfortunately. It's been kind of dull. I always expect, you know, transfer ban lifted, you know, all the effort, the legal effort that it took, the sort of political effort of sort of fighting FIFA as well. I was like, yeah, it's going to be a big, exciting transfer window, but certainly hasn't been like that. It's just, you know, it's a case with all Premier League clubs that the talent's just not there. It's just not available in the market. Teams don't want to part ways with their players mid-season. So, and the kind of players Chelsea need is top players. They can't just put in a stopgap here or there. They're better off sort of promoting the youth in the meantime if they can't get the players they want. They kind of want somebody like a Jadon Sancho or a Timo Werner or of that ilk, you know, Moussa Dembele as well from Lyon. All these teams are in the Champions League. All these teams are, you know, needing to get back in the Champions League. So they have money. They don't need to sell. And they don't want to be stuck without a replacement as well. So it's disappointing, I think, for Frank Lampard. It's disappointing for fans. And I think, you know, the real aim is a striker and a left-sided defender, whether that be a left back or a Nathan Ake type. So those were the aims, and I think Chelsea are struggling to get those kind of deals done while also shipping players out. But Giroud looks close to moving to Inter, so that's something to expect in the next few days.
And going forward in the second half of the season, what do you think warrants a good first season for Chelsea under Frank Lampard?
I think that top four should be regarded as a good season, but I think that, you know, the fan base are very demanding, and they want trophies. They want something, just to compete for something at least. So if he can get to a final or you know, win that trophy, it'll be absolutely massive season. But yeah, certainly Champions League would be great. I think, you know, as far as Chelsea's concerned, in-house, what they care about is that amazing amount of Champions League money. I mean, Chelsea won the Europa League last season and they got far, far, far less revenue than teams like Manchester United in the Champions League. You know, teams that hadn't even won it like Liverpool, but you know, they come in and collect huge revenues. I think they also earn far less money than when they got knocked out of the last 16 by Barcelona a few years ago. So yeah, Chelsea, you look at Chelsea's revenues and they made a record loss. So to maintain that level of spending, to maintain their sort of place at the top table, Champions League football is massive for this club. So I think Frank Lampard will get a big pat on the back if he gets top four, and he'd be all right to ask for a pay rise as well, maybe.
Nizar, sometimes in the past, Chelsea have found it tough going up at St James's Park. Obviously, a little bit of a bogey venue for them, you know. Newcastle stopped that rot, three defeats on the spin. They got a point against Wolves and they won last night. And they've performed well against the supposed bigger sides in the league this year. They maybe will fancy their chances, but what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I think that, yeah, I've got to go with Chelsea win. I mean, they're better away from home. I mean, you know, Newcastle have a few injuries as well. So they were very well organised. Newcastle, it won't be easy. Of course, it won't. It's going to be terrible weather for me as a journalist going up there. The trains aren't working. It's going to be tough for me, but Chelsea, I expect to win.
Yeah, Nizar, I was expecting you to say that, but we really appreciate you giving us time on the Newcastle Fan Show. Nizar Kinsella there, Chelsea correspondent for Goal, saying that Chelsea will get the win. He was worried about the weather. I mean, I think it'll be all right. He's a journo, he'll probably be in hospitality. He won't be like the away fans that have to climb 9 million steps just to watch the game in the gods. But he was going for a Chelsea win. Aaron, what are you making of the game on the weekend? Where will it be won and lost?
I think we can expect to see not very much of the ball for Newcastle, as we've seen quite a lot this season. But you know what? I think they've stopped the rot. They've had a good win last night. They've got Bruce on side.
Here comes an Aaron magic moment.
Yeah.
1-0 Newcastle.
And
Joe Linton's going to score it as well.
Oh, this is too good to be true. Where's all this positivity coming from in 2020? Newcastle can beat Chelsea on the weekend 1-0. Not only 1-0, but, you know, obviously 3 points, a goal for Joe Linton, and a clean sheet. This is the stuff dreams are made of. I turn it to Sean. Sean, you've got quite a lot to follow now in that act, but where will it be won and lost for you, and what is your prediction?
Well, I think because we've got Richie back in, I think he's going to get a start again, and we're going to have sort of Andy Carroll coming in from the start, hopefully. And I'm going to go with Matty Longstaff getting a goal, and I'm also going to go for Almiron getting another. So I'm going Newcastle 2, Chelsea 0.
He's one up, Charlie. He had to go 2-0 when you went 1-0. Typical Sean Wade. Just on that, we didn't touch upon the injuries. What is the latest with Dwight Gale as well? Because he was someone that was starting to sort of worm his way back in the side. Yeah,
Gale's out again, yeah.
Do we know for how long, Aaron?
No, not yet, I don't think so.
Yeah, that is the thing. Obviously, some of the injuries that we mentioned, players coming back to full fitness now, but obviously losing others as well, a tricky month for Newcastle. It is Chelsea on the weekend, but as always, this has been the Newcastle Fan Show, and more importantly, you can always have your Toon Army Saving Magpie say, put a question to Aaron, put a question to Sean. We're happy to hear your views, because this is the show that gives you a platform to air them. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We'll be back at the same time as we are every Wednesday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio. But this has been me, Charlie Hawkins, with Sean Wade and Aaron Stokes. We will see you next week.
This is Love Sport.